Well, let's pray again. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts, to your transforming work of your word as your Holy Spirit teaches it to us, renews our minds, and changes our lives. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. The life of blessing. What is the blessing of God exactly? What is the blessing of God exactly? What does it look like in the Bible? And what instruction does God give us concerning his blessing? Carrie and I often count our blessings. We do that quite a bit. Sometimes we speak of the wonderful home God has provided, the car that we can depend on, the delicious abundance of food, and just to pause there, just love the garden, you know, and remember when you were a kid and you were 8, but you were going on 9? Well, I'm 63, but I'm going on 64. And going on 64 even, I still marvel at vegetables in the garden and the produce and the flowers. Our zinnias and the lilies, especially the zinnias, just beautiful. And I think it's great. I don't know, maybe, you know, I bumped my head and that's what did it or whatever, but I like it that I can still get captured with the beauty of God's creation like that and the flowers. So all of these things, the delicious abundance of food, goodies from the garden, decent help, the blessing of God, all of it and more. Carrie and I have an expression. We say, we're rich people, and we know what we're talking about when the other one says it, because we are. We're rich, and just God's abundance. When one of us says that, we immediately share the thought. But our recounting the Lord's blessings goes much further than that. It is possible, in fact, to have all of that and not truly live in the blessing of the Lord. There's something in when I wrote Beyond Pretend, and there's a thought I tried to capture, and it was life on the creation track, and that's life in the natural realm. And that everything and all the things that I just mentioned, everyone can enjoy those things. You don't have to know the Lord or not. You can enjoy those things. Is it the blessing of God? Yes, it is. It's God's the one that provided. Now, whether you know it or not, whether you give God credit, whether you give him glory and thanks, it is the blessing of God. And then there's the redemption track. And the two tracks in life, if you can just picture that, two life tracks. Everybody's begins on the creation track. You're born on this earth. And we can enjoy these things. But then to someone who comes to Christ, then you are on the redemption track. You're saved now. Your life isn't just located here on this earth. And you can see now past the horizon. And when you come to that and you're forgiven your sins and just the world opens up to you, then we just live in a different way. Now the problem is sometimes, even as believers, we forget about the blessing of walking with God on the redemption track. And what we do is we're, if you sometimes just listen to our conversations and our blessing, it's all about this world. And yes, God provided that and he gives those things. But what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look, and it's really going to be, it's not going to be brief as far as our time here in the Sunday evening service, but it's really going to be an overview. And what I did was I looked, when it said, I just searched for blessed is or blessed are and all of those. And when God speaks of blessing, he doesn't talk the same way we do. And we're going to look at some of those verses, and we're going to look at a little tool that I came up with from a couple of different men, and I think you will find it interesting. Anyway, it's possible to have all of that and not really live in the true blessing of the Lord. Sometimes people miss the blessing of the Lord because they don't understand the nature of God's true blessing. They have yet to taste the goodness of the Lord. We have been filling ourselves with artificial substitutes. Now, there's a man, I've got a commentary, Gerald Wilson is his name, Psalms commentary, and he says this, the word blessed conveys the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. That's a pretty good definition. Let me read that again to you. The word blessed conveys the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. It's kind of like, it is well with my soul. This is when God speaks. And what he's referring to, well, it would apply to various, but he was speaking specifically of Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Okay, so this man, the word blessed conveys the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. Now, another man, speaking of the blessed person, another Psalms commentary, Derek Kidner, he tells us that this psalm, and he's the one who was speaking of Psalm 1:1, he says this psalm goes on to show the sober choice that is its basis. So you have the blessing is conveys the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. Now, what is that happiness based on? This other man is saying, it tells us that it shows the sober choice that happiness is based on. And as I'm studying this, it went ding, I'm going to look at that. So what we're going to do, like a research project, we're going to bring our data in, we're going to look at these verses, and it says, blessed is, and we're going to look at the happiness then from that, this what I call the happiness that flows from that sense of well-being, and then we're going to look at the sober judgment. Now, what I mean by sober judgment is it not that you're not drunk, sober means that, of course, but the seriousness with which we approach that, the sober judgment, the serious inquiring. Okay, so with that in mind, would you turn to Psalm 34:8? Psalm 34:8. And actually, this verse is what kicked off this whole study for this evening. It got me thinking because it talks about the blessed person. It says, Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, if you're taking refuge, what's going on? If you're taking, it says, blessed is the man or the woman, the person. If you're taking refuge, what's going on? If it's pouring down raining and you're running to the house, what's the house? Refuge. Your refuge. So when it says here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, what's the context of tasting God's goodness? The storm. Storm, we could, the storm, the trials of life, danger ahead. See, sometimes, and we really shortchange ourselves because when we stay on that one life track where it's just the blessings, and the blessings are wonderful. All of us, God has blessed with wonderful homes, with a vehicle. Probably not a one of you when you go, I've had cars like that, and I grew up with Dad had, it seemed like about all the cars we had when I was really young. You might go out there, it might start or not, or that half-bald tire may blow or it may not. But I don't think any of us going out there tonight turn that key that you're expecting it to not start. And you enjoyed with me the veggies from the garden. I'm very impressed by that. Just heart overflows God's provision. We had Chuck Butterfield show up at the door last week. And I had two big old bags of peaches. And just really good peaches. Uncle Dean said I missed out on his. I was too slow getting over there for his. But just the bounty there. But sometimes we just, and if you hear us, you know, and it's like family and friends and health and these things, it's not that those things aren't important. It's not that God doesn't provide that blessing. But we're really the true life of blessing is not dependent on any of those circumstances. Paul said he could be content when he had a lot or when he had nothing, didn't he? See, that was the life of blessing. We can be content, we can live in God's blessing if we have peace in the land or whether it is just unbelievable turmoil and chaos. The blessing that God speaks of primarily through Scripture is that blessing that we have. So here we have, and it just hit me, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or the woman who takes refuge in him. And another thing that is the blessing to that refuge. Sometimes when you take refuge, you're in the war zone and you're taking refuge and you've been wounded, and you let God heal your wounds. You let God heal your broken heart. You let God hold you. That blessing is the blessing. It's not dependent on circumstances. So let's look. Okay, we're going to have two parts to this. One, what the blessing is. And the blessing is conveys the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. We have that expressed here, don't we? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, what is the sober judgment that you make, the basis of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, the happiness and the sense of well-being, that what is the basis there? What is the decision, the serious decision, the thoughtful decision, the sober judgment that you make that allows you to experience the goodness of God? You take refuge in Him. Now, you know people, we all have them. They're our family, they're our friends, they're our co-workers, they are our neighbors. Their life is turmoil. They don't have the blessing of God. They don't have this happiness, this sense of rightness and well-being, but they refuse to make the sober judgment to run to God for refuge. You see how doesn't this just click? These two men and these comments that they made, and I thought, put these together and look what you have and look what we can share. If someone's going through, you know, especially if they're a believer, we've been looking at in Sunday school that the natural person, they can't. I had mentioned in Sunday school when you're speaking to the natural person, not the spiritual person. The spiritual person is one who has the Spirit, who's come to Christ. The natural man, the natural woman, is the person outside of Christ. And I put up an illustration, the black box where the natural person lives, and they deny all the supernatural. So when we go up, when we're talking to them and they say, I can't see how a loving God could condemn people to hell. Well, they're telling the truth. They can't. They can't see it because it's spiritually discerned. And when we know that, we know what we're dealing with. So when we're sharing some of these things to encourage someone, well, it's going to fall on deaf ears if they don't know the Lord. But if this person knows the Lord, if they're a struggling pilgrim, say, look, this happiness, this sense of well-being and rightness, here is a decision, a sober judgment that you can make, and you can determine that God will be your refuge. And that's the person that it's talking about here. When it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, it's talking about so much more. We taste God's goodness. When I go out, I just go out and pick a bunch of tomatoes. Our cucumbers did really well this year for some reason. And they were really good cucumbers. They never got, you know how they get bitter when they never got all, you know. That's God's goodness, isn't it? But that's not what this is talking about. Everybody can experience that goodness whether they know it's God or not. Again, it's that life on the creation track. Just every human is on that life track. And it can be really good until the end if you don't know Christ. But that's not what this is talking about. This is, can you almost hear the psalmist trying to draw us into this taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in Him. So we see the happiness, the sense of well-being and rightness, the sober judgment that's based on. Well, let's try another one. Let's go over to Psalm 1. And I mean, this just, it just lays out before us. It's the same thing. We're going to look. Just take a second, more than a second. Read the first three verses to yourself. I'll just read through them. How about that? Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, if we look at this then, we could do the part one is, what is the happiness, the sense of well-being and rightness? What verse or verses would we identify as that? The happiness, the sense of well-being and rightness. Somebody's brave. Well, it would be verse 3, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. That sense of, I mean, just the pictures that God gives us. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, we always have to remember them when God is saying, blessed is this person. When Jesus in the Beatitudes, blessed are they who, when God is speaking like this, this depends on nothing of this world. It depends on none of the events of this world, whether it's in our town, in our state, internationally. This blessing does not depend on that. It doesn't depend on the economy. It doesn't depend on how well the company you're working for is performing. It doesn't depend on your health. None of those things. Who does this blessing depend on? Tell me. The Lord. The Lord. He's not going to let you down, is he? So when we're picturing this tree, he or she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he or she does, he prospers. That picture, that happiness, that serenity, that sense of well-being and rightness, God has provided that. Now, what's the sober judgment using our little method? That serious decision, that thoughtful decision that we made, that's the basis. The person who has this life, what decision have they made? Well, it's in verses 1 and 2, isn't it? What have they made? They've made the sober judgment to what first? Not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Secondly, to not stand in the way of sinners. Thirdly, to not sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, what that is speaking of, all three of those things, is filling our mind with the way this world thinks and approaches life. That's what all of those, the counsel of the wicked. Who are the wicked? Well, the wicked, they are everyone who is outside of Christ. It can be the nicest person. It can be the best person on your block. And if they are outside of Christ, it might sound mean to some. It might sound critical or spiteful or whatever. It's just the biblical designation. They are the wicked, because they've rejected the King of Glory. I mean, when you say, well, they can't be wicked. They're such a nice, it's such a nice woman, such a nice man. Well, they are in the context of this world, but not in the context of God's glory. They fall short of God's glory, and they refuse to receive God bringing them to himself. We don't stand in their counsel. See, sometimes we have to be careful, because we will stand in that counsel, and they're such a good, and we listen to them, but we don't realize, instead of having the spiritual mind, we're taking on the natural mind. We're thinking like a mere human. And a lot of this will have to do with compromise in the church. And we'll things that are very important, and we'll say, well, you know, couldn't we just, we could just get along if we could just, and you know what we do in the church? We do this sometimes in the church. You know what we do sometimes in the church? It's even worse than this. We do this, and we do this. We don't want to know, because we don't want to have to make a bold stand for our Lord and his word. Folks, that's not being a mature Christian. That is not God's love. That is standing in the counsel of the wicked. That's how humans handle things. So we make that sober judgment. See, I personally believe that we can observe this in life. And we see so many Christians, we see our political mess. We can see the fear of the economy, all of these things. And I believe it's why people, believers, have been robbed of the blessing of God. Because they're interpreting all of these world events, our state mess with the budget, whatever it is, Republicans versus Democrats and budget crisis and all of these things, we're reading it all through a lens of our humanity and it not letting God speak to us. We're standing in the counsel of the wicked, we're walking in the counsel of the wicked, we're standing in the way of sinners. We have put ourselves in the same place as the natural person. We could have the mind of Christ. We could have God because we've got the Spirit, but we've let these other things crowd that out. And then we sit in the seat of scoffers. And it's just amazing. Over the last several months in the Genesis study and the Answers in Genesis seminar DVDs, the atheist delusion and some other things that we've seen, you just see it. This is what we should expect because scoffers scoff. Because they have to. And it's just because they are battling God's truth. They deny God and they deny his truth, but they're battling his truth. That's why they're so angry. That's why there's so much bitterness and resentment. They're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. We'll say, well, they're not playing fair. No, they won't. We're going to come back to Psalm 1, but let's go to the Romans 1, and just so we can just see that more clearly than me just kind of quoting parts of it. Verse 18 of Romans 1, and we're all familiar with this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So don't think the scoffer is going to be fair or kind or reasonable when he is debating you, when you challenge his thinking. Okay, because what he's got going on is he's denying God. He's denying the truth of God. But the thing is God is true, and his truth is there. He can't look at anything around him in this world and not see evidence of God. That's why there's turmoil. So sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay, so there's three negatives, the sober judgment we make so we can have this life, the tree planted by the water. Okay, but now here's a positive one. And what is that? It's two that are one. Verse 2. But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And that is so powerful and it's so needed. And we have churches across our country. And it's like I mentioned this morning that, you know, they start off, we preach Christ crucified. Crucified drops off. We preach Christ. Christ drops off. We preach. And they preach, and there were thousands, I would say, I don't think that would be exaggerating, thousands of messages, preaching, using the Bible. Preaching, mentioning Jesus, mentioning heaven, mentioning family, mentioning whatever. But they are not delighting in the law of God because they are not saying the things that they should. They are not addressing sin. They've bailed on the authority and inspiration of Scripture. And I gave, I believe it was in Sunday school, the example of the church, the Church of Scotland. And somewhat, I don't know how old this recording was I listened to. But they talked about they were then making allowance for homosexuals, and then they started leaving in significant numbers. But the person who was addressing this, He said, you know, yeah, that's probably good that they're doing that. He said, but years ago, probably decades ago, they bailed out on the authority and inspiration of Scripture. Years ago, decades ago, they bailed out on the deity of Christ. He said, what bothers me is that now you're leaving? Why didn't you leave 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 60 years ago? Your denomination, they keep preaching and they can, and people can rationalize, oh, I heard the Bible, but they're not delighting in the law of the Lord. You don't ignore the voice of God. You're not disloyal to Him. You don't step away from a holy boldness of His word if you delight in the law of the Lord. If you truly love the word of God, you don't go and say, well, this part I'll preach, this part I'll stay away from, this part really people don't like that, so we'll not speak on that, this part might cause dissension, this might do this and this. That is not delighting in the law of the Lord. That there is no reverence. There is no reverence for God. This Bromley something or other, she's a pastor on the West Coast and has a book. I don't remember the name. I saved the information in case I wanted to go back to it and be able to reference it accurately. But did you know now it's okay to have sex? You don't have to be married. It's okay now, because she's written a book and she's explained, and of course she uses the Bible. But then she has to point out the parts, you know, where the Bible, you know, well, you know, culturally it just hasn't kept up, you know, and these things like that. But yeah, she's a pastor, and it's okay now, because see, that's not delighting in the law of the Lord. That's not delight. But it because part of her reasoning, I didn't read the whole article, I read a good bit of it, but part of the reasoning was that's a need we have. God wouldn't deprive that, would He, of us? So it's just wanted to let you know, it's okay now. Now we'll move past that awkward moment, but that's just an example. And there are thousands and thousands of those examples. And I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, and I don't think it ever will get back to our daughter, but her church, and she really likes her church, and they seem to do significant things in the community, but we went and he preached, and it just, there wasn't, I didn't see a delight in the law of the Lord. He used the Bible. See, that's what people say, oh, they used the Bible, we had Bible verses. That doesn't mean you love the Word of God. That doesn't mean you preach the Word of God, you teach the Word of God, because you use the Bible. And sometimes we're slow for that. But what is the sober judgment for the one who has, because see this tree that's planted by the streams of water? That person, the person there that freshness, that life from God, well, you get that because you're trusting the Word of God and His care and His guarding us and His protecting us, His holding us forever. If you've undermined your faith in the Word of God, what do you have left? So the sober judgment, delight is in the law of the Lord, and the sober judgment that follows that, and on His law, which is speaking of Scripture, he meditates day and night. If we don't have peace, we're filled with turmoil. You're saying you don't have the life of blessing. Have you made the sober judgment? Have you made the decision, the thoughtful decision that will give you that is the basis of that life of blessing? I'm going to go back and read that definition one more time, that happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness. And that's that picture of that tree. Planted by streams of water, it's fruitful, it's fresh. God uses that tree to prosper it. Okay? Let's look at another one or two. I'm a looking here. Well, here, first of all, I got something in between I had forgotten. What can we learn from this? Three things, I believe. Three things, at least three things. One, the blessing of the Lord involves making a correct choice, doesn't it? Now, it's grace. We're not becoming legalistic with this because we'll tell someone, sometimes we can get very legalistic, and because we will get slammed at times. We will be down at times. We will struggle. And we just want to throw some Bible verses at people. But what these scriptures will show us, that there is a basis for a life of blessing. The blessing of the Lord involves making a correct choice. If the storm has come at us in the trials of this world, and we're not taking refuge in the Lord, we're taking refuge in everyone else, or if it's an interpersonal relationship, instead of taking it to the Lord, we're lashing out at that person, or we're gossiping about them, or we're trying to take them down so we can win the contest, you're not going to find this peace and this sense of well-being in that, because that's not the basis for it. Secondly, the blessing of the Lord is possible no matter what the circumstances of our lives are. This is completely separate. If Paul said, if I have plenty, I'm content. If I don't have anything, I'm content. His walk, his blessing is not dependent on the circumstances of this world. Will our lives look differently? Let me just give an example. This devastating blow that Pat Ulrich has. It's just like a gut punch. I think everybody in the church felt it. Okay. I'm not going to go up to Pat and give her a formula and tell her to put on a happy face. That's not what this is talking about, is it? But knowing Pat and her walk with God and her delight in the law of the Lord, is she going to have this peace and this sense of well-being and rightness? Oh, you better believe it. Because she's walking the life of blessing. That's what blessed are they who mourn. This is what he's talking about. This is not talking about the fake, the superficial, put on a happy face. It's talking about that you have, even when things are a disaster, this sense of well-being that God gives us. And thirdly, to live a life blessed by the Lord, we need to know what that life or that blessing is. Sometimes I think people just don't know, and sometimes it's resistance, it's rebellion, it's a loving the world more than loving God. But sometimes it's just like the light bulb just hasn't come on. You know, the wow, I could have had a V8 moment. And they realize, and you could, so that person, that's the one who you can take these verses, the blessed is, blessed are, and you could sit down with them. That's the person you could say, well, look, here's this life of blessing. Now, here's the basis. Here's the sober judgment that you would make that is the basis for that. All of this is through the grace, the mercy, the love of God. That's how he works all of that out. God never says, oh, you've got the formula. You don't need grace anymore. You've got the formula. I'll withdraw my mercy. No, we need, we look up, see the sun every morning and new mercies. Thank you, God. We need that. The other thing we need to remember, too, is all, because everything God does, because he's a holy God, is based on his righteousness and his holiness, his awesomeness and his majesty. And we all are part of that. We have access to that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Well, let's just do one more. And if you turn to Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So, let's go back to our statements here. What here is the idea of happiness that flows from a sense of well-being and rightness? Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, the happiness, the sense of well-being and rightness is that my sins are forgiven. Okay. What is the sober judgment then that a person needs to make? That thoughtful response to their situation. What is that?
We've sinned.
What's that?
We've sinned.
Yeah, we've sinned, but what's the response? We need to seek God's forgiveness. Now that seems so simple, but we have a world of people who don't know that. We have a world of people who don't realize that this guilt they're carrying on, this thing that they're fighting against. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. That's the life of forgiveness is a life of blessing. So what's the basis of that? Then when I sin, I seek God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sober judgment that you make. Of course, and it comes, first of all, it comes when we come to know Christ. And that fountain that flows deep and wide that Christ provided for us at Calvary. And I just thought it just the seeing this life of blessing, and that we can see someone struggling and because they can have, like, if you can imagine here, what, earlier this summer, and Randy comes in that Sunday for Sunday school that weekend, and practically the whole plant where he worked got laid off. You know, just hard hit right in the gut. And those things are, and if I had worked there, and he would mention one person that just bought a new truck, and I would take that gut punch too. But hopefully what I would do was where's my refuge? Where am I going to go to get consoled? I'm afraid. What are we going to do? How are we going to pay the bills? Where am I going to go for my refuge? You know this. How many times has God answered this prayer, like a prayer, this approach for you, for me, over the years? How many times our hearts are racing, the anxiety, the fear. And it's like, take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. It's that whole thing. We bring it to God. We trust and obey. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, we praise you for your word of truth. Help us to be bold warriors in the name of you, Lord Jesus. Always be kind and gracious, grace words, to walk in your love, to care more for others than ourselves, but help us to be bold, very bold in showing our love and loyalty to you first, our first love, to never love anything more than you, Lord God, to honor you, to walk worthy of the manner with which we have been called. As you call us to your glory, you enable us to walk in a manner worthy of that. How we praise you. This life of blessing that you've made available to us through Jesus Christ, how we praise you in his name. Amen.